Australian music legend Stevie Wright has reportedly died on the New South Wales south coast, aged 68. The Easy Beats frontman became ill on Boxing Day and was taken to Maruya Hospital, where he died last night. The band was best known for this track. That was the 1966 hit Friday on My Mind, which reached number one in Australia, number six in Britain, and number 16 in the US. Legend has it that Paul McCartney heard it while driving, pulled over, and called on the radio station to ask them to play it again, which they did, as you would if you were rung by Paul McCartney. Glenn A. Baker is a music journalist and joins me on the line. Glenn, it's a sad day in Australian music. He battled drug and alcohol addictions for a number of decades. Is that thought to be a contributing factor in his death?
I would imagine so. And look, I'll be perfectly honest and say that many people probably didn't expect him to reach 68. He was a child star and all that that implies. I mean, he had his first number one record in Australia. He was 17. He was, at age 18, he was a celebrated star in Britain and around the world. He was number one across Europe. But then with the 60s came a whole lot of sort of indulgences and diversions. And once the sheen went off the Easy Beats in Britain, those things sort of, you know, came to play a part in his life. But he managed to have, not only did he have an astonishing run of hits in Australia, almost all of which he co-wrote, and that's worth keeping in mind, but also he then had a second go. He came back to Australia and his friends Vander and Young wrote an epic 11-minute plus song for him called Evie. And it went to number one, the longest record to have ever done that. He appeared at the steps of the Sydney Opera House in front of 100,000 people. And there, sort of, you know, we all fell in love with him again, once more. And there was an impish, cheeky quality to him. There was something about him that was quite irresistible. I mean, he was... It's hard to explain why we fell for Little Stevie as we did, but it had to do with the fact that we had a dose of the Beatles. They were here for 3 weeks, and we felt we needed more. We needed something else. So Easy Fever took over. And Easy Fever meant that nothing, no television station, no hire car, no hotel lobby was safe from screaming, marauding, howling kids who ran across it in their high-heeled shoes. I mean, it was an incredible experience. And that's what made, I think, we fell in love with him because he was the master. He was to the manor born. He was the master of all those ceremonies. And he was a migrant kid like all the Easy Beats were. He came out of Villawood Migrant Hostel, and we thought that was just, what a great success story. And it was a great success story.
Fantastic. Well, Stevie Wright and the Easy Beats were our first international rock band, but as you said, he was born in England and he emigrated to Australia, where he ended up in Villawood. How did that shape his music, do you think?
Well, you know, he was in a band before the Easy Beats under the alias of Chris Langdon, and the band was called Chris Langdon and the Langdells, and he had the most experience, even though he was the youngest of the Easy Beats. The Easy Beats were like, you know, two Dutchmen, two Englishmen, a Scotsman, and the reason they actually made music was, in a way, it was a bit like huddling together like puppies in a basket, because there were gangs that roamed outside the hostel who wanted to beat up any migrant kids. It was a pretty brutal place. And by making music, they felt that they could gather together, that they had some strength. And did they turn the tables? Because soon they were discovered by Ted Albert, they were signed to a recording contract, and they had number one records. And suddenly people weren't wanting to beat them up anymore, but they wanted to worship them. And look, really, you could write it as fiction and nobody would actually believe it. But that's how it happened. But so much of Australian music at that time, so many of the acts that really shook us up were migrant bands who maybe were one step closer to what was happening in the UK, and maybe they felt that they could do it because they understood that psyche. But they weren't, you know, it was an incredible thing. But Stevie was so powerful on stage. Harry Vander once said, he said that when he was on stage, he said he was the only one anybody saw. And I mean, you know, George has said that, you know, he might have been our singer, but he was just the best there was. He was the most exciting lead singer. And Mick Jagger, when they toured with the Rolling Stones in Europe in 67, would apparently stand in the wings, I think George told me this, and watch Stevie with his sort of mouth a bit agape. This guy who would come on stage with sort of like, you know, somersaults and hurl himself in and leap and roar. And, I mean, he gave a dimension to being a rock and roll performer that almost we hadn't seen before. I mean, he wasn't as cool as the British rock acts. And yeah, but he felt that he had something that he urgently and desperately wanted to say, and the fact that he was writing. Keep in mind that for those eight smash hits the Easy Beats had before Friday on My Mind, Stevie was the lyricist. Stevie could knock out those words really well. I mean, there's a lovely story I was told to me by Johnny Young, the man who wrote The Real Thing and Here Comes the Star and Smiley, etc. His first hit as a singer was a thing called Step Back, which was written by George Young and Stevie Wright. And Stevie Wright wrote it early one morning, sitting in the toilet of a motel room, was the only place he could get any peace and quiet, and he knocked off the lyrics in about 10 minutes. He just said, hang on a minute, George had already written the music, he said, hang on a minute, he went in there, closed the door, scribbled out some words, came back, handed Johnny Young and said, yeah, I think this will do it, and the thing went to number one. Now, I don't know how many people quite understand the mythology, or no, not so much the mythology, but the, you know, the magic of rock and roll. But to be able to knock something out in 10 minutes and have it go to number one, didn't we all wish we were Stevie Wright? Didn't we all wish we were part of that?
Yeah, from a motel toilet. That's talent under fire.
Exactly. Look, the frenzy that accompanied the Easy Beats as they went around Australia. Normie Rowe, who was Australian-born, incidentally, did much the same thing. He managed to get girls going quite berserk. But the Easy Beats, in a way, had a bit of a sort of a loftier design. They headed to England, and they had a lot of people. Brian Epstein wanted to manage them at one point. They were eventually produced for Friday on My Mind by a man called Shel Talmy, who produced The Who and The Kinks. So they had a lot of people actually coming, you know, to their aid, who believed in them. But the people who broke them, and this is really interesting, Friday on My Mind became a big hit on pirate radio initially before the BBC picked it up. And one of the reasons why is that many of the pirate DJs were Aussies. There were Australians getting work in England, and they knew of the Easy Beats, and they played it, and they turned it into a hit. And, you know, good on them. the boat that rocked, as the film put it.
Oh, an amazing story. Glenn, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That's music journalist Glenn A. Baker.